So I hope everybody had an incredible Christmas. I know I did. I know a lot of people stress during this time, either trying to find the right thing, the right gift for somebody, or trying to get to the right place. I know I have a lot of different places that I go during the Christmas season. Who hosted this year? Anybody host? A couple of us. So I kind of did, not really, but I went to my uncle's house where I did not host. I didn't have to do anything for that one, but we kind of hosted my house on Christmas Eve. We have my immediate family, my parents, my brothers and sisters, but I got to give it to you guys that host. You guys are the real VIPs of Christmas because we do like pizza. We had tacos this year. I mean, we don't do anything really, all that much planning and cooking. So I love to just go and enjoy everybody. Probably my favorite part. Christmas Day, we usually go to my sister-in-law's house, and there she prepares everything. I don't know how she does it. She prepares every single thing that we have. Nobody brings a dish, nobody brings anything, and she seems to enjoy it. So that's all right. I'll let her have it. So in December, Pastor Spence shared with us the message of God's hope and his peace, his love and his joy, and all these things are gifts that God wants us to have, gifts that we can receive every day and not just on Christmas. We can receive them throughout the year. We can receive God's hope and we reflect on his glory in remembering that God is way bigger than anything that we go through here on earth. We can have his peace when we accept what Jesus did for us on the cross and enter into a right relationship with him. We receive his love through the Holy Spirit and who he sent to dwell inside of us. And with all of this, we then receive the joy that comes from being one of his children. So today we have the children from downstairs, the older children from downstairs. So I'd like to go ahead and invite Elizabeth up. She's going to share with us a little something. But I just want to welcome the kids today to Big Church is what I call it. Welcome to Big Church. I hope that, this is something that you really, really enjoy today.
Good morning. Good morning. It is wonderful to be in Big Church. We do call it that. So I just want to tell you really quick, I want to thank you for praying for my mom, those of you that have prayed for her. My mom is an inspiration to me and to many other people. She's 83 years old, and this last year she went on three over out of the country mission trips and has touched so many different lives. And this is how God works. She got really, really sick, was so weak she couldn't dress herself, but she kept telling us she didn't want to go to the doctor. So we finally made an executive decision as her children that she was going. So we took her into the doctor thinking it was just a cold, and she had a UTI infection, had no symptoms, no pressure, no blood, no anything, no pain. But the infection had gotten into her bloodstream and it affected her heart. They thought she had a heart attack. So they had to do a angiogram and stuff. Thank the Lord it was not a heart attack, but she did weaken the heart. So she has been in the hospital, but she is now at my sister's home recovering. And I thank God, because had she not gone in for a cold, we could have lost her. So sometimes that's how God works. We don't understand like why things happen the way that they do. But when we start looking at the little things of life, we see his hand moving. So I just want to challenge you this year to do that. So while we are in here with our kids, we want to give you just a little taste, a little synopsis of what it's like to be in children's church. So we're going to do something that's kind of fun. It is my desire to partner parents to help our kids to have a strong foundation that they know that God will never fail us. So I'm going to ask for my Kids Central kids to come up. that's right now we have three. Come on, Violet. Okay, so I've kind of explained this, what we're doing here earlier. So Silas, you're gonna stand up here, okay? Now, as long as he is facing the cross, you guys are gonna go back there by Mr. Andrew. Can you raise, see he's waving his hand? You're gonna go back there by him. As long as his back is turned towards the cross, then you can run towards Silas. We probably should move this. Okay, but if he turns around and he says forgive, you have to freeze. If he catches you running and moving, then you can't run the next time. You have to stay frozen. Okay, all right, go back there by Mr. Andrew, and you can turn around. You're gonna probably have to say it loud. All right, go ahead and go. Good job, guys. Okay, you can come and sit down here. Come sit right here. So I don't usually have a podium. I'm usually sitting in a chair. So, so in Ephesians 4:29, it says, "Let no corrupt talk come out of your mouth, but only such as good, for building up as fit to the occasion, that it may give grace to those who hear." And then in verse 31, it says, "Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander be put away from you, along with all malice. Be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, as God in Christ forgave you." So we've talked about that one verse, about the corrupt talk. And we've talked about how that is not just bad words that we say, is it? Sometimes it's being unkind to somebody else, saying mean things to someone else. But God wants us to encourage one another. He also wants us to make the effort, just like in our game, to forgive. Sometimes we can be so hurt by someone that we become angry and we don't want to hurt them. We don't want to forgive them. When Miss Elizabeth was a little girl, it was probably about Novi's age, I had a friend that had a rabbit. And so I went to their house and I got to hold the rabbit and it was all soft and stuff. I really wanted to bring the rabbit home. And it was the cutest little rabbit. The next day, when I woke up, I had red bumps all over me. In my hair, in my ears, it was everywhere. So my mom had to take me to the doctor, and I found out I was allergic to the rabbit. So the next day, when I went to school, lo and behold, they had a lice check. And so when I went in and I had all these red bumps on me, they took longer to look at me than they would normally have. And well, the bully of the school, who happened to have a last name of Pain, literally, she began to tell everybody on the playground that Miss Elizabeth had lice. And then she rode my school bus on the way home, and she told everybody on the school bus that I had lice. I was so hurt, but yet so angry, I didn't want to forgive her. I would have liked to have taken tape and put it over her mouth. But God wants us to forgive. Even when it's hard to forgive, he wants us to forgive. And sometimes it means we have to make the effort. And that might mean that every time we have a mean thought in our head, that we say, God, I choose to forgive them because that's what you want me to do. And eventually, that forgiveness will reach your heart. See? So I want you to go into this year with an attitude that when someone hurts you or disappoints you, that you forgive. All right, you can go back and sit with your parents.
Thank you. God's message is for all of us, even the littlest ones of us. What happens downstairs, I know Pastor said it too, it's equally as important as what happens if, up here, if not more important, I think, because those are sowing the seeds of our next generation, the generation that's coming up that's eventually going to be sitting where you all are sitting and preaching where I'm preaching today. I think it's just amazing. So speaking of hope and peace, and love and joy, at some point in our lives, I think each of us has lacked in one area or another, sometimes all of them. I think we can all agree. I know for me, I have felt the absence of one or more of these gifts. It seems most often when I'm not living a Christian life, when I'm stepping away and turning my back on God, when I'm angry at him, because it happens, when I'm not living my life as I should. Sometimes it seems like God is absent from our life, like he's ignoring us. I think even at times we've even thought, it doesn't really matter what I do. I'm not good enough for God to forgive me anyways. He doesn't care. Maybe we've been caught up with living in sin, something that we didn't think that God would even want us back. Maybe we still feel that way. Sometimes it's hard to get out of that that feeling. But it's times like these that we should remember about God's grace. It's probably at times like these that we should remember it the most. God hasn't left us. It's us that stepped away at those times. It's during the hardest parts of our lives that we need to remember to seek God's grace. I think this is where New Year's resolutions come from, the idea that you can start fresh. It's a new year, a new day. You know, I can turn myself around. Maybe your resolution is to start working out, get in shape, maybe lose weight. Maybe it's to quit smoking or quit drinking. Maybe it's just to reach out to friends more or read the Bible more. You know, we didn't do so hot in 2024, but 2025 is my year. My message today is titled Pressing On. There's a story I'd like to share with you. It's by author, communicator, and church leader Michael Kelly, and it goes like this. I was once walking along a road with no real direction in particular. I found myself picking the way to go based on the friendliness of the path. Was there sunshine? Were there potholes? Did one way look more inviting than the other? The way before me was spread out, so I walked at my leisure with little intentionality. But then I heard a voice behind me saying, "Turn." I didn't want to turn around. I wanted to choose the way that I should go. Still, the voice made me wonder what might be of interest, so I quickly glanced over my shoulder only to find darkness. It seemed, much to my dismay, that there was little light in that direction. Why would I turn? Why would I choose a different way when I could instead just walk on as I had been, using my senses to guide me the next step in that direction? But there was the voice again, insistent this time, "Turn." I glanced over my shoulder again to see the speaker, but found again only darkness. It was maddening. Logic went against turning to see what I could not see. There was only a voice behind, whereas the clear path in front of me. So I walked on. Turn. The story doesn't end there, but I want to take a minute to reflect on what we just heard. As we look back over the year, how many times have we done the same thing? How often have we chosen the path of least resistance, the path that brings us happiness right now or relief right now? Addiction, anger, deceit. How many times have we thought about taking another path, but we can't see where this path leads? So we go this way because we can see it. It's familiar to us. this way isn't easy, but at least I can see where it leads. God, I can't see down your path. I can't see where you have me heading. Maybe the path wasn't clear, so we just wandered around hoping to find direction. We're not sure, so we're just walking. Just going with the flow, wandering aimlessly, never having any clear sense of direction. We can even start off on the right path, but then slowly drift over to the wrong path. Maybe friends or family who don't have a relationship with God pressure us to do things that we wouldn't probably do if we were living a godly life. Temptations of the world just get to us. We can veer off course and not even know what's happening. In the story, the man kept hearing someone say, "Turn," a voice calling to him. I think we can relate to this. We can feel a sense of conviction from time to time, God calling us back to him. We know what we're doing is wrong, but man, it's just so much fun. Sometimes it's too hard to get out of these bad habits. I think sometimes we even look for the voice, but just like the man, we don't recognize it or we can't see where it's coming from. We can even ignore it intentionally. We know who it is. We know what God's trying to do, and we're not ready for that yet. In Philippians 3, verse 13, Paul talks about forgetting what is behind and straining towards what is ahead. And then in 14, he says, "I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus." Paul's reminding the Philippians, and then us as well, through reading the Bible, that what we have done in the past does not get to hold us back from what God has in store for us. Our sins, our troubles, our trauma, things that happen in our life, the things the world has drilled into our minds, those things can't control our eternity. Only God can do that. This is part of the resolution that we often mess up on. We rely on our own strength and abilities instead of including God in our plan. Even if it's just something as simple, as working out, God needs to be there. Maybe your resolution isn't working and you can't quite figure out why. I think about the last year, and it's hard not to feel like I've failed in some ways. I can't take back things that I have said or done. I can't go back and say things I should have said and didn't. But what I can do is I can give those things to God, and I can seek forgiveness, and I can ask God to mend those broken pieces, not just in me, but in the people that I've hurt too. I know that through God's grace, I don't have to live in the guilt of my wrongdoing. God has called us to bigger and better things. God says in Isaiah 43, verses 18 and 19, "Forget the former things, do not dwell on the past. See, I am doing a new thing. Now it springs up. Do you not perceive it? I'm making a way in the wilderness and streams in the wasteland." God is consistently working for our good. Every second of every day, he is working for our good. His plan is way bigger and way better than any plan that we could ever make. His plan can satisfy our needs way better than anything on this earth can. We just need to surrender ourselves to him. We often try to live our lives doing what we think is best, and we fail. Evangelist D.L. Moody once said, "Let God have your life. He can do more with it than you can." And it's true. His plans are so much bigger and better. We proved that way back in the garden, way at the beginning of the Bible. We proved that his plans are bigger and better than ours. We fail. And many times after, just read the Bible. You'll hear all about our failures. So how do we do this? How can we give God our lives? It can't possibly be that simple. Well, the first step, confess our sins and accept that Jesus is Lord and Savior over your life. It really is just as simple as that. The Bible tells us that Jesus is the only way to heaven in John 14, 6. He gives us the instruction. The only way. He's the only way. We can't get there by being a good person. We can't get there by buying gifts for everyone or tithing, even though those things are great. That's just not how we get there. We can't get there by asking for forgiveness and then continuing to sin. That's not being sorry. When you ask for forgiveness, you need to stop doing those things that you're asking forgiveness for. God is graceful, and he knows our hearts even before we speak it. He's sincere. If we're sincere, God forgives even the worst of our sins. The next step is to walk with Jesus. So we ask for forgiveness, but then we walk with him. The closer you are to the Father, the easier it is to give him your life. We can talk to God through prayer any time of the day. Prayer can help us to ask forgiveness, to give thanks for what God has done for us, or even just to share thoughts and feelings with him. He just wants your company. He wants you to have a relationship with him. He just wants to hear about your day. He already knows it, but he just wants you to tell him. Another way to draw closer to God is through studying the Bible. Sometimes prayer can feel a little one-sided. Sometimes we don't necessarily hear what God's trying to tell us. It's as if we're the only ones speaking. But when we study God's word, we get to know him better, and we start to recognize his voice, and then the prayers stop being one-sided. You can start to hear him too. Every word from the Bible is God's inspired word. So God gave each author a story to write. And it's through the study of these stories that we can see his love and direction for us. When we read the Bible and listen for his voice, we become closer and closer to him. Another way to give yourself to God is to serve him. There are many places to serve. Your church is a good place to start. Our church cannot function without the help of many, many, many volunteers. We have ushers, door openers, musicians, teachers, cleaners, bakers, event planners, decorators, people who mow the grass, shovel snow, salt the parking lot, people who refill the little offering envelopes and connect cards in the back of the pew. There are so many things that happen behind the scenes, you'd be surprised how many people it takes. Another place you can serve is your community. Volunteer to pick up trash, help the physically impaired, go shopping for somebody who maybe can't go shopping, feed the homeless. Wherever you feel the need to help out, know that you are being the hands and the feet of Jesus. His body is not here any longer to do these things, but we can do those things. He can do those things through us. So let's look back at the story from Michael Kelly about the man on the path. He says, "I heard once more, turn. And I answered with frustration, turn to what? I can't see what lies ahead. I can see what lies ahead, but now what lies behind? There's only darkness. But as much as I wanted to laugh off the decision, I could not escape the voice." There was a sense of urgency there. Urgency, but behind the urgency, there was kindness. Such a voice I had rarely heard. It was the voice I would use with my own children when I knew something they didn't. So I began to turn, not fully, but only slightly. And to my dismay, the light shifted. As I turned, what was behind me was no longer shrouded in darkness, but instead began to be enlightened, not fully, but only slightly. I turned back to the way I was going. There was still light there. I could see the way. I could still determine which way I wanted to go. But then glancing back in the opposite direction, I was able to see more. Bit by bit, I indeed turned. And as I did, I saw more and more. So I went a new way, walking in the direction of the voice. And as I walked that way, there was more and more light, and it only came with each further step. So when we seek him, he reveals himself to us. As the man turned, only slightly, he could only slightly see, and the more he turned, the more he was able to see. He lights our path, he sets us straight. When we stop focusing on our past and start focusing on God, we can begin to see the future. How much does he need to call before we turn? How much do we need to see before we trust what God can do in our lives? All right, let's all bow our heads and close our eyes.